so yet, but we're going to. And after I'm done for all doing this stuff, we're going to have some milk and cookies after the show, okay? Okay.
Welcome to this Fabric Scraps podcast. My name is Chris Tripolino, and you're welcome for that taste of performance from my four-year-old self. You'll get a little context for that later in the episode. See, after I had the privilege of hosting our open mic at the Minnehaha Falls Art Fair, Melissa Locke wanted to ask me a couple questions. So I hope you enjoy this conversation about the art of togethering.
Chris, it's Monday after our open mic. That was so much fun yesterday.
It was fun.
Oh, thank you. So I met this guy there early on before we really got started.
Yeah.
And I got talking and asked, about him. And I learned that he is temporarily in Minneapolis, but where he's been living, like, he doesn't get to make his music. He said, I said, well, what's your music? And he said, it's flamenco. And he plays the drum that's like a box that you sit on. What's that called?
Cajon?
We have one. The cajon, yeah. He plays the cajon. And so he said, well, I can't be part of the open mic because I don't, but I do play the cajon. And I said, well, have you met Chris yet? He said, yes, I did a little bit, but is he a musician too? And I said, oh yeah, he's a musician. And you know what he really loves is connecting people through music. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's true?
I do. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you describe yourself as an artist? Because we've been interviewing all of our artists each week during our Art of Togethering series.
Yeah. Well, the phrase that I always use as it relates to fabric is that I consider myself a curator of inspiring experiences. And I mean, I really hope that that's what I can be pushing us toward in our gatherings and whatever size and shape they take.
Yeah. Well, I felt inspired yesterday.
Nice.
How was it for you?
It was really great. It was such a beautiful day. The art fair itself, is set up just lovely, with all of these little booths and kind of awnings where people could kind of be welcomed into an artist's little, almost like a mini gallery, just step into these different worlds of what people are creating. And then, for our part, being able to offer an open mic in that setting felt unique to me, not the corner of the coffee shop or the dive bar where you might be used to experiencing an open mic, but really, on this this big stage amidst countless folks who were milling around and quite a few that were hanging out in the seats there listening.
Yeah, it was nice and shady under the oak trees, and people were really enjoying coming over. They were drawn to the space, not only for the shade, but they were, I was really enjoying talking to people, including the artists around the edges in their tents, because we wanted to make sure we weren't interfering with their ability to talk to their customers. Mm-hmm. And every one of them was so grateful for what was happening. Mm-hmm. And they said, this is such a great vibe, and I love what he's saying, and I'm hearing great music. I mean, they loved the jazz. So it was so fun to share fabric with people that way.
Yeah. And even the elements of fabric that wouldn't even know that they're part of us, like the people who are just naturally part of the fabric of our society, of our neighborhoods, are, people close by to us that we're connected to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The park was full of connections yesterday. Mm-hmm. That was so neat. And I think the art made it possible, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So what else inspired you yesterday? What were you noticing?
Well, I guess I would say that one of the big pieces of it was, for me, this sense of uncertainty.
That doesn't sound inspiring.
Well, we like to live on the edge of what we think is going to be possible.
Who's we? We being?
We being Fabric. You know, just like staff or, you know, leadership, whatever. I think that we often kind of try to push ourselves in that direction. Like, you know, this phrase that we use sometimes of this might not work. And, mm-hmm. you know, not having the expectation that everything is going to always turn out the way that we expect it to.
Mm-hmm. But, and thinking big.
Yeah.
That allows us maybe to think
absolutely.
Big.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, so coming into the weekend, I had actually reached out to some friends of mine and had, you know, what, three or four people who said that they were planning on being there, you know, professionals. And I was actually a little bit on the nervous side that it was going to start feeling a little bit more like a showcase than an open mic, mm-hmm. you know, that it was a little too polished because, you know, these other artists they're just great. And it ended up that, you know, for one reason or another, none of them were able to make it. And so...
And you found that out.
Yeah, just like a day before mm-hmm. or not until they just weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess for me, having a little bit of trust that there actually was something there to share and that we could draw it out, that to me was really rewarding and inspiring, not just because it was like so amazing, you know, in terms of the musical quality, but just like that there is, you know, there was plenty there.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I loved that. You know, just the filler music that you mm-hmm. had was Zach Stutterford,
right.
who's really an up-and-coming local jazz, you know, keyboardist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if that he would describe himself that way, but he's
right.
around the town.
Yeah.
And he grew up in our community.
Yeah.
And just came and played this incredible jazz music as the filler between right. acts.
Between acts as we're getting set up for the others. And mm-hmm. yeah.
And it created this great vibe. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, you had quite the variety.
Absolutely, yeah. We had a couple families feel inspired to just come on up all together and share something. And
so wait, can we back up for a second? When you got there Sunday, mm-hmm. did you know anything about who was going to be there other than Zach?
Yes. We had a couple, you know what, probably three acts who had signed up beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not enough to, you know, fill an hour, hour and a half of time. And so, yeah, there's a lot of trust, a lot of wait and see sort of feeling.
And a lot of asking and inviting.
Mm-hmm.
So what was that like?
Well, you know, I think that for me, there's this piece of reclaiming a sense of creativity or artistry that I feel strongly about.
You mean like that's in all of us?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think that Joe Davis had talked about this a little bit too, but he and I think about these kind of things a lot where when you're leading people of a variety of ages, for example, you start seeing these similarities and differences in terms of how different ages approach creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that seems pretty common is this sort of natural zest and excitement from younger kids. And mm. and then there comes a time where we sort of grow out of it. And almost it's like this calcification. We just like we get further and further from it if we're not doing something really intentional to build skills and confidence around art.
Mm-hmm. So like, when we, as we get older, we don't go around saying, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can play a song or sing a song.
Right. Or to consider yourself an artist is a stretch. Right. And so one of the things that I was trying to do as I was framing things from the stage and trying to inspire people to, you know, consider what they might have to share was really helping them see themselves as an artist there. So, you know, I think I said something like, you know, maybe you're here to find a piece of art for your mantelpiece and you're creating a particular environment for your home, like that, the creativity of that, you know,
mm-hmm.
or, just, I think there are a wide variety of ways in which people were sort of interfacing with art while we were at the park. And to start breaking down those barriers between the consumer of the art and the creator of the art, you know, to start seeing that as flow feels really rich and more honest, more true to what's actually happening to mm-hmm. me.
It was fun to walk around and, you know, try to, you were really repeating, you know, like, well, I'm going to say it again. Mm-hmm. What we're missing is you. And I found myself saying to people, like, in this park, there's just so much art here today, and we're all part of it. Mm-hmm. And so you can join on the stage. And then we had that art project going on,
yeah.
too,
yeah.
where people were coloring in people that fit together, like yeah. this cool tessellation. Mm-hmm. So
it kind of represented some of their own sort of personality, their own perspective as they were creating, and then got placed in with the whole.
Yep, yeah. yep. So really people had these ways to mm-hmm. both participate as a, you know, a receiver, a listener, a taker inner, mm-hmm. a consumer, and a creator. Mm-hmm. I think that kept growing as yeah. we went to, yeah. like from the first, you know, 10 minutes of it to mm-hmm. the end, like it actually got hard to finish, mm-hmm. like to
yeah.
close. Like
we were starting to get like the next act was going to be on and we got to strike the stage. And that was just so beautiful because in the beginning I was worried I'm going to be standing up here for an hour just like begging people to do something. You know, Zach's going to be tired of his fingers are going to be bleeding.
I mean, people would have listened to him the whole time. But.
Yeah, for sure. So, it was inspiring to see all of that just sort of take shape. And little conversations like during one of the acts, I guess, there was a guy that came up and said, "You guys have this set up as an open mic? That's amazing." And I think he was just sort of stunned that in that setting that we could do something sort of vulnerable, unpolished, and really like uncertain, you know, just, mm-hmm.
we weren't trying to put on some show, some perfect performance. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he ended up going back to his home and getting his guitar and getting on stage.
Great.
Yeah.
He wrote that such a sweet song. Mm-hmm. I do recommend people watch the live stream to get a sense for some of the acts.
Sure.
I mean, it was a broad range of ages. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably a 70-year spread between yeah. the youngest and the yeah. oldest.
Between our youngest 2-year-old who yeah. Sang a little happy birthday tune to the art fair.
That's who it was too?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Theo. That
yep.
was Theo.
That was Theo.
So sweet. Yeah. So check that out. And you'll catch the bug, I think, get a sense for it. Mm-hmm. So you curated an inspiring experience yesterday.
Yeah, thanks.
And you, as an artist, how did you get started?
Well, that question makes me think about music and just kind of my relationship to music in general, which is not quite what the question is, I think. But, you know, I just had music surrounding me growing up. My parents were musicians and always encouraged me to explore and to listen and to be making my own music. But maybe even more sort of salient for this conversation is I think about being a performer. And even for me, who like that's definitely part of my identity, that's I would not hesitate too much in calling myself a performer. But it feels like there's something, I don't know, that I should feel guilty about with that. Like there's a sense that a performer is sort of showy and looking for the limelight, you know, craving the sort of accolades, the attention and whatever mm-hmm. else, you know, that it's
diva.
Sort of selfish and yeah. But really when I look back to my earliest years, there was something that I wanted to share and there was something special about the sharing, even if I wasn't quite sure what I wanted to share. You know? So, I mean,
like
I remember
performance by trust or something.
Yeah. It was like almost like before the skills were cultivated, before, you know, before I had a sense of my own voice, there was like this desire to just share, you know, I probably still have some cassette tapes that I had recorded of myself as a 3 or 4 year old telling stories about the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I mean, it's just like all these crazy things that, I would just imagine in the moment, and they would turn into stories and turn into songs. And I'm sure that anyone who was around, you know, my parents and whoever else, they would be getting these performances. I would do magic shows, and I would do whatever. So I guess all of that to say, it feels a lot like a similar vein, or like there's some kind of connective tissue here, between what we put on yesterday in this open mic and my experience, which, you know, to wonder at that a little bit more feels like there really is something interesting there that I sort of had the trust that there was just something worth sharing, even if I wasn't quite sure what it was going to be.
Yeah. Yesterday you said, tell me how you said that, art is best when shared.
Yeah, I think I said that, I probably said it 10 different ways over the course of the morning, but I think I said that art is most alive when it's shared. Because there, you know, art can exist in a static way. A song doesn't stop being a song, you know, when it's not being played for someone or whatever. You know, a painting on the wall is still a piece of art, even if no one's in the room. But there's something about the sharing of it, the give and take, the flow of all of that, that really makes it alive. And that's, I don't know, something worth cultivating. It's something worth, you know, chasing. And like the value of that is just really, really great, because it inspires us, and it, you know, I think sometimes will help us get into the other side of that flow where we take it in, we're inspired, and then we express what that brings up.
Whatever we have to express in response.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think of how you would describe yourself as an artist these days, and as curator of inspiring experiences. And it sounds like inspiring, I mean, that has this sharedness baked into it. And I feel that on a more regular Sunday with Fabric too, or a regular gathering, whatever that is, even though we change it up all the time, to keep it inspiring, it feels like there's always this level of trust, not because, I mean, sometimes like, yeah, we could always be a little more prepared, but we're trying to build something that is woven deeply, like with us, our real selves and real other people and this mysterious God, AKA God force in the world. And all of that stuff is way beyond our control. And we put these experiences each week out there to touch that. And art really opens us up and is such an important part of it every time we gather, really. And I could really feel that yesterday.
Me too.
But so in your experiences as a curator of inspiring experiences, what has been hard? What's been a hard thing?
Well, I think, you know, there's a sense of trying to find the right, I don't know if balance is the right word, but finding the right amount of structure to create the space that you need for the art to happen. So how much of the scaffolding do you need in order to bring out the best stuff? So in songwriting, there's a little bit of a common trope or understanding of the tyranny of the blank page. And true with, you know, for authors too, just the sense of like when the page is blank,
and it can do anything supposedly.
Right. When it's wide open, you just like, it's so easy to get stuck because you have too many options. And so creating some rules for yourself. If you're writing a song, creating some boundaries for a story that you're composing, you know, just mm-hmm. sometimes you need a little bit more structure in order to release the full creativity.
Or to even get it flowing.
Yes.
A little.
Right. I suppose. Just to get it started. Yeah. So when you consider artistic expression in the context of more than just you, when you try to weave in other people, figuring out how to help everyone feel like they can share what, you know, share their best stuff, share mm-hmm. what they need to, want to, can share in that moment.
So like other musicians, other artists.
Yeah.
What about the people listening?
Yeah, I think there too, like, I mean, and some of that gets back to performance, right? The performers that we love are the ones who engage us, right? If you go to a comedy show and you're not pulled in, you're not laughing, then you're not going to think too highly of those performers, right? And, you know, you think about musicians that you love. If you just find yourself kind of sitting back and not really being part of the experience, chances are, you know, that's not going to be one of your favorite shows.
Yeah, like with the shows where, like, the nationally touring rock star, mm-hmm. they're in Minneapolis and they say Cincinnati or something.
Right. Oh, jeez.
Oops. Yeah. Yeah, no, you know who you're with. You mm-hmm. you yeah. are getting something from them.
Yep.
And
yeah.
You're honoring, like, what they bring.
Sorry, when you said you're getting something from them, did you mean the performer is getting something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so... That is so true. Like, I think about some of the different performance experiences that I've had, the countless coffee shops where the din of conversation is almost like so much that you can't even be heard. And so there've been, in my early days, there was a lot of, volume creep as the evening would go on, where I would turn up my volume just a little bit to be heard, and then the conversation would get louder, and then I would turn up my volume, and then the conversation would get louder, and because they just weren't interested.
To, like, say something really yeah. shocking?
Right. Well, yeah. And actually there are artists who, you know, like Beck, who made their career doing that. That's why you have these crazy lyrics, because he was trying to get the attention of people in these spaces. Yeah. And so it, like, completely changed the art that he created. So that's kind of an interesting sort of connection here too. But yeah, so the flip side of that though is, like, the gift of an engaged audience is, like, I don't even know how to explain that as a performer. It's like the energy that's given is just incredible. It really does compound on itself, the give and receive of, specifically of energy when it comes to art.
So as an audience member, mm-hmm. like, what can I do if I'm enjoying your music? What kind of, what do you like?
Yeah, I think,
like,
I mean,
what helps you? Just being into it?
Yeah. Like, you know, the movement and the cheers and the responses and everything. And sometimes it's like, there's a social sort of element to this too, where it's like, I think we repress some of what our responses might be, but I've also just been so sweetly filled by the one woman doing the sort of hippie dance in the back that, you know, just sort of swirling and twirling. And it's like, yes.
Wait,
like,
does that
thank
happen
you.
At Fabric on Sundays?
I haven't actually seen that happen there, but in other gigs that I've done,
we could loosen up that
we
part
could.
Of us.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Just dance a little bit.
I mean, I'll speak for myself, I guess.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So this question, we got down this path because you were talking about what makes it hard is knowing the balance between how much kind of structure mm-hmm. or intention or preparation to put in yeah. while also trusting the unfolding mm-hmm. of it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that does sound tricky, like a dance.
Yeah. Yeah. And just to give another sort of like expression of that real quick, I would say, there was one week that I remember I'd written a song for one particular gathering that we had. And I don't remember if I wasn't going to be there. I think maybe that's the case. For whatever reason, we had our friend Matt Herzog sing this song. And so it was the debut of my song.
Of an original.
And, yeah. And I wasn't there. And I remember him feeling a little standoffish about it and just being really generous. Like, are you sure you want me to do this? And,
oh, yeah.
And then also he had some ideas to kind of tweak it. And I think he felt a little sheepish about that too, but I just really welcomed it. And I've been doing this long enough now, this, you know, collaborative musical mayhem, that I've gained a little bit of trust that when you let people bring themselves to it, it always gets better. Mm. I mean, maybe not, you know, right away in that very moment.
Or better by standard X.
Right. So yeah, maybe not more polished, maybe not more radio friendly, maybe whatever, but like, but there's a richness that comes and that inspires future iterations of a song. It inspires other people to be part of something, and it inspires just like countless things that really enhance the experience and further artistic expression.
Mm-hmm. Feels personal too.
Yeah.
I mean, in a good way. Like,
yeah. Because we bring ourselves.
As someone who's a lot of times the one like taking that in, I feel like I'm part of this magic moment where people who aren't pros, they're not all like, they don't do music 24/7 or whatever art, they're coming together because of something else, something like they want to be part of something, they want to create, and that's a really cool thing to witness. And it feels both personal, both like connective and inspiring. Like, oh, I can do things too. I can try things. I can brave uncertainty, right? Yep. I can think a little bigger and not have everything all figured out. Kids are really good at that.
Mm.
I mean, you were kind of talking about how the kids sort of led the way yesterday in terms of getting up there.
Right. Yeah, they did. And drug their families along with them in a few cases and offered some really great stuff. Like there was beautiful art that was shared because of the excitement to share from some kids, which is just a really beautiful thing to me.
So anything else that, as you think of the art of togethering, it's not hard for me to see so many connections from what we've talked about in terms of your art of curating inspiring experiences. I mean, it really is like you're doing the art of togethering all the time.
Yeah.
But is there a takeaway from this open mic experience that you feel like is exciting for us as Fabric to think about as we consider who are we and what are we doing together?
Yeah. For me, it's probably mostly really related to that concept of structure and to trust ourselves with a little less structure would be my sort of encouragement. I think we have the sense that more certainty, more structure, more pre-planned everything is going to make us feel confident and comfortable, and it doesn't necessarily. And it doesn't necessarily...
Have you had that sense? Like when you say we, like,
yes.
Is that something you've
felt? Yeah. So I have, both from myself and from other musicians that are part of Fabric and, you know, with dramas and with, you know, other kind of performances, speaking and with, it doesn't mean we shouldn't prepare.
Right.
And that's sort of the other, I'm not interested in a sort of laissez-faire, what's going to happen is going to happen and it'll be fine. No, like I want sort of an engaged uncertainty, a level of confidence and openness so that we can get the most us in it.
Mm. confidence and openness, we can get the most us in it. I mean, that reminds me, you said art is most alive when it's shared. And I feel like there's a connection there where when we show up as ourselves, with other people showing up as themselves, these bigger things can happen that we can't quite imagine or predict or control, right? Yep. Yet we're doing our own footwork. And that's really, really fun to think about and really messy. And probably what we all ultimately love about being part of a community like Fabric is that we don't pretend that there's like these guarantees of anything. Thank you.
Of course.
This was fun to talk.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Let us know what you think. Be creators with us.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.